Welcome to Local Exposure, a podcast about music and the greater Cincinnati scene. I'm Jim Nolan. Thanks for listening. Phasmids is an eclectic collective of artists and creatives. That approach to the band and the music is reflected in the synth-pop prog-rock hybrid that makes Phasmids unique. I sat down with four members of the band to discuss the music, the songwriting process, their gear, their new EP, and the etymology of the band name. Joining me in the studio today are Chris Sweeney, Matthew Rischer, Jonathan Goolsby, and Jared Wilson from Phasmids. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Let's start with the basic, obvious question. Phasmids, where'd the name come from?
Drew it out of a hat.
Seriously?
No.
In a way, though.
Kind of.
It's like a month-long deliberation.
Yeah. There was a bottle of Kraken involved.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
The original concept, we were fairly diverse in our influences. Phasmids are stick bugs, leaf bugs. They're bugs that would stand out and be striking if you saw them out of context. But they can blend into any environment and disappear. And we like that about our sound.
I like that.
I thought about that all night.
The music of your album, to me, and you tell me if I'm totally way off base, it sounds synth pop, but the chord progressions sound very prog rock. Mm. Lots of minors, a lot of cool changes. Is any of that conscious, or does the music just feel like it comes out of you in a non-specific way?
I think some of the time it can certainly just flow, but I think we're a band of songwriters, that's for sure.
Matthew in particular has a prog rock influence.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think it's just unconscious? Think it just comes forth?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely. It's probably a situation where we're writing a song and I'll go, hey, what if we change this note here? And that's coming from all the prog rock I've listened to. That's not the only thing I listen to, but it's a pretty heavy influence.
I mean, yeah, I listen to prog too, and definitely some prog influences. And I think it just comes through regardless. It just is part of our, you know, influence. And so it's not conscious that we do stuff like that, progressions like that. It just kind of flows naturally.
I'm on the other end. Matthew and I constantly argue about which era of Genesis is the best. I am firmly in the Phil Collins era.
I used to like you.
Gross.
It's okay. We'll get on the ice and we'll hash it out.
There you go.
There it is.
Hey, there you go.
One thing we failed to mention is the other member of your band, Rachel Moosey, mm-hmm. who I believe is currently on tour with ADM.
That is correct.
How did the band form? Did you guys know each other beforehand, or how did you meet up?
I think that's our deep, dark secret, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As to how we formed.
So I think it was Jonathan and I that met and had the same goals and like wanted to start bands about the same time. And we got together one night and we're like, let's start a band. This is what we want to do. And we were all pretty much on the same page. And then from there, we decided to, you know, get more members because it's hard to do it with two people. So I think we got Chris next.
Yeah, I think you were looking for a female that could play piano and
yes,
sing.
Yes, right.
And then you met me, and that was the closest you could
right.
find.
It's the long hair, I know. And then Matt came on board, and then I think Rachel was the last member.
Mm-hmm. It's lighthearted music. It has obviously this very 80s synth pop kind of sound to it, but the emotion is heavy. How do you balance those two?
I'm a moody son of a gun.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Is it purposeful, though? Are you trying to get that 80s throwback sound, or is this just music that you feel like
writing?
I think,
again, it kind of just flows out of us. That's mm-hmm. just what comes naturally
yeah.
to us. And I like working with Jonathan on the lyrics, and he does like to take the time and really pull a story out of it in the lyrics, which I really enjoy.
I'm a big fan of drum machines and synthesizers. And
I was going to ask you next about the instruments that you guys use, because, yeah, it definitely has that sort of electronic sound. Tell me about some of the gear that you use.
We have nicknames for our synthesizers. I play Borg and Earth, and Jonathan plays Sky. And it's mm-hmm. a deep, dark secret what they actually are. But I will tell you that Sky is a proper synthesizer. You know, it's got all the knobs and buttons and you can basically build your own sound from scratch. Earth is a modeling synth, so it's more of a it's got built-in presets that you can then tweak with knobs. And then Borg is kind of like your go-to piano, organ, strings, electric piano. It's kind of your workhorse. And then we run drum loops off BeatMaker 3 on an iPad. Very cool software. Mm-hmm. Very cool software.
Yeah, so I was not a computer on stage kind of person, but Matthew did sell me on the iPad. That's as far as I'll go, though.
Yeah.
With these, the elemental names of the synths, is this all like sort of Magic the Gathering tied in, or how?
That's it.
Yeah. It is. I will disavow any and all knowledge of Magic the Gathering, but I will absolutely ascribe to Star Trek.
Okay. Well, yes. That's the Borg.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Sky is the same synthesizer that Diggable Planets used at their show at Woodward a couple of years ago, which Indeed. I found kind of gratifying when I found out.
Well, I got to see Grimes at Bunbury a couple of years ago, and she was using Sky.
Was she?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now you can go find out what that is.
And there's a clue in Borg pretty well if you think about brand names.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah. We do have photos of all three synths on our Instagram page. So you could theoretically look at that and go, hey, it's at the Phasmids.
There you go.
Let's talk about some of the other bands in town that I think maybe share some of the sensibilities that you do musically. We mentioned ADM that Rachel is currently touring with. Also bands like Comprador and then, of course, Moonbow. I think Moonbow very much matches your sound and your attitude. Have you guys ever played together with any of those bands?
We have not played with Moonbow. That is not out of lack of desire to do so. However, we have a show coming up with Comprador on June 30th at the Comet. We're going to be sandwiching Gastly, Indiana, who's on tour. So we're pretty excited about that show, too. We're going to debut, we think, three new songs. We're going to have Kristen Agee from Us Today drumming for us that night because Rachel's out on tour. And we're bringing in Freedom Nicole Moore is going to sing backup vocals because it takes two people to fill Rachel's shoes.
Right. That's what it is.
Before we get to talking about the album itself, I want to take a step aside and listen to a track from the upcoming EP. I want to listen to Celine. So this is Celine by Phasmids.
Baby, that she and I need you so. I hear your faces now, from now and ever after we.
The reason I picked that song is because I think it sounds the most like a quote-unquote single.
Celine was definitely one of our first songs. I wrote the music to it, and then Jonathan wrote the lyrics to it. And it was really just a way to jumpstart the band, just to get material. But we still play that song even now, and it's...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah. So.
People ask us for it. It's the weirdest thing, having people ask for a song.
Can you play that one song?
Well, it seems to be maybe the highest energy song of the six on the EP.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Who recorded the album? How was it put together?
Well, we did a few takes with Paul Brum at the Lodge in Dayton, Kentucky. We had a session of 2 days, I think. Mm-hmm. And we took a few of those tracks, a few of those takes, mostly drums, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And a few keyboards. And then Matthew and I were just sitting there mixing with Paul and thinking, how much of this could we pursue ourselves? And I've been recording my own stuff for a long time, and so I'm not necessarily a stranger to recording. And Matt's worked in radio before with, you know, editing and mixing and whatnot. So we just said, let's just go for it and try it ourselves.
Yeah.
And because I guess you have that digital interface with the majority of your instruments, it makes it easier to get the right sound, the right mix, and everything else, and have total control.
But we also have a really great studio that we took full advantage of recording the vocals too. So just throw a microphone way up in the corner somewhere.
Good old warehouse spaces.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do your own mixing and mastering and everything?
We recorded and mixed, and then it was mastered by Gabe Molnar.
From Disaster Class.
And Little Lights.
Yeah, Little Lights, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I understand you guys are connected with our friends over at Radio Artifact.
Christopher and I do a show called Celina Underground, which is on Monday nights, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern.
And do you focus on local music, or what do you play?
We're kind of an eclectic show. We take a strong local focus. We also play a lot of new music, but, you know, there's the occasional classic rock block that gets in there, or I'll get a wild hair one week and we'll do all synthy stuff. We have guests on, too, you know, like yourself.
Mm.
We like to talk
anytime.
To people.
Mm. Anytime.
He's thinking, yeah.
Chris, I want to single you out for a moment.
Uh-oh.
Because... When I was listening to Celine, and then I noticed it in the other tracks as well, you have a very distinctive overdrive sound to your guitar. It's not your traditional distortion. How do you get that sound?
It's mostly from the weird amp I have. It's an old radio amplifier. So like it would be attached to the receiver, and the receiver would go through that. And I think it's like from the 50s or something, and I just found it for a really good deal on Craigslist. And it's pretty low wattage, so I would put a microphone pretty far away and just like crank the amp as much as I could until it sounded weird. But yeah, it's mostly just from that. And I do like to use a lot of pedals, but as far as like overdrive and distortion and fuzz, I never really got into that. I just prefer to find a weird amp sound. So right. But yes, thank you for noticing.
What's your guitar of choice?
My guitar is a weirdo. To like use guitar lingo, it's kind of like a Jazzmaster and a Stratocaster put together. There's also like a silver like Gretsch pickup in it too, which I use in Celine actually.
So you have the six tracks of your EP. They're mixed, they're mastered. When can we expect a release?
It's kind of soft released already.
Okay.
It's out there, folks.
Yeah, mm-hmm, it's on Spotify, it's on iTunes, it's on all those good old electronic things.
Digital platforms, yes.
We would like to press it, but as you know, that requires money.
Speaking of making money, you did mention the June 30th show, but you also have a show coming up in August at Motor.
Christopher, you want to tell them about that?
No.
Okay. Matthew?
No. That's all you.
Jared?
I'm good.
I don't actually know what's about that.
You got this.
August 22nd with In Details. That's our buddy Paul Trigstad, who we have played with before. At Jurassic Jams 1, we were there at the original.
Inaugural.
Represent.
Yeah. That's all we know about the gig so far. We know it's a Motor. We know we love to play there. Mm. So we're pretty excited.
It's always
about
fun
that.
To cram into that stage. It's
love
it's
it.
Oh, Motor's
it's,
great,
it's,
yeah.
It's very cozy.
Really good sound there,
really
too.
Good sound, too. Yeah.
Do you guys bring a lot of gear with you?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
We've trimmed down, too. Like
we have, yes. I mean, Matt started as the drummer with a normal drum set, and just piece by piece, once he got that first synthesizer in front of him, just piece by piece, the drum set went away and he picked up more electronics.
That's a good transition.
Just walk in with an iPad. And
We did a show in Lexington, and I think we burned through like 15 minutes of stage time with gear problems.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And it was, you know, it's an out-of-town show, so you want to maximize your stage time. And we were all very irritated about that.
Right.
So at that point, we started saying, okay, what can we do here to trim things down? Mm-hmm. And for a while, it was this, we called it the Franken kit.
That's right.
I had replaced the rack toms with the synthesizer and like spread the drums out to either side. And it was really awkward to play, but it was neat. But even that was just like, this is also irritating. Like,
right.
So we just don't have a drummer now.
Well, you also have to make your gear travel friendly, which is, again, not very easily done, especially with high-tech electronic equipment. Mm-hmm. So what sort of steps do you take to protect all your stuff?
Well, we used my old hockey bag for the cymbal stands and everything.
There you go.
That would fit nicely, wouldn't it?
It kind of did. It ended up breaking the zipper. Yeah, we have a duffel bag too.
Right.
If we had it our way, we'd have a lot of things on stage.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Definitely a gong.
A gong, a third synthesizer for me,
right.
Didgeridoo,
Fortin,
hand drum. We've got a tumba. Jonathan wants kettle drums.
Kettle drums.
Couple saxophones.
There's no way.
At least a couple.
We've discussed it before, but I think what we're going to do is have a studio set up, which you don't have to take anywhere. The instrumentation's unlimited. And then when we do play shows out, especially out-of-town shows, we need gear that we can transfer with minimal effort, just because, it's going to be two different setups, and I think that'll work the best for us.
Sorry, we're having a band meeting right now.
No, that's fine, because it totally makes sense, because as you mentioned, you have problems on stage, you're tired after carrying all that gear, and it just becomes a big, giant pain.
Yeah. I think one of the smartest ideas I ever had was, for one thing, you're hooking up an iPad and an I.O. device and two synthesizers and all this stuff. There's a lot of cables, so I went and bought a bunch of cable management stuff, and I basically made my own snake. So then I have this weird giant thing that I pull out and I go plug, 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 and we're good. And that, if you're in a band and you've got a lot of electronics, do that.
Right.
Yeah.
You will thank yourself.
Velcro people.
Yes.
Velcro, yes.
Not to mention, again, setting up, but then breaking down. Because so many times you have another band right behind you saying, can you guys get off the stage?
Right.
Yes.
There's the scene in the movie, That Thing You Do.
That's right.
Where he tells them, like unplug the guitars and just run off stage before everyone stops clap.
Right.
And, I feel the same way. Like, as soon as we end, it's just, okay, go.
Yeah, forget.
So besides the live shows and the release of the EP, what else is next for Phasmids?
Well, we are currently recording our next album at the moment. So,
yes.
Like Jonathan said, we have a few new songs we'd like to play out at the show on the 30th. Yeah, mostly we're just getting ready to just keep on rolling into the next one. So
We really kind of have two albums planned out already.
Yeah.
And they're very different. That's part of the concept. We don't envision our records being the same ever consecutively. The sound will migrate. It'll be tied together.
It will, yes.
But it'll be moving around. So.
Well, I think the reason for that is to mention back that we do have a lot of influences, so we want to kind of use them all.
Don't want anyone to be bored.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most of all ourselves.
Right.
I always find with certain bands, their first album comes out and it's good. Then their second album comes out and it's amazing. And then the third album comes out and it's horrible. And it's largely because it's the same as the first and the second. There's no new ideas. So that's very exciting about this project.
Right.
All right. Well, as we leave, it's the time when I ask you guys, what track do you want to listen to?
Mm. Oh, boy.
No, let's poll the audience. What do you think, guys?
Yeah.
Fly, Many and Few. See Me Out.
Let's do Fly.
Fly?
Let's do Fly.
Fly? Do Fly.
All right. Well, this is Fly by Phasmids. Jared, John, Chris, Matthew, thank you for coming by and visiting and spending some time with you.
Thank you, Jim.
Sounds it out, but home, not what it was.
My thanks to Chris Sweeney, Matthew Risher, Jonathan Goolsby, and Jared Wilson from Phasmids. Their self-titled debut album is currently available on Bandcamp and SoundCloud. For links to more information about the Phasmids' new release and their upcoming live shows, please visit wvxu.org/lx. Local Exposure is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio and 91.7 WVXU. Today's episode was recorded by Josh Elstro and produced by me, Jim Nolan. The theme music for this episode is by Scott Holmes and comes from the Free Music Archive. You can find out more at freemusicarchive.com. Until next time.